Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. You know, as I was preparing today's sermon, somehow in my mind I kept thinking of the song from Dolly Parton, "I Beg Your Pardon, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden." But when I read Jesus' words, it's like Dolly Parton's song on steroids. I mean, look what he's talking about. He warns us against letting Beelzebub or Satan rule our hearts or our households. He's clear that the cost of discipleship. He encourages us to fiercely proclaim the gospel. He warns us of no peace by following him, but a sword and division. And members of our own family will be against us, and we need to take up our cross. Happy Father's Day. Well, maybe happy Father's Day. I mean, a good father loves their children, but also a good father tells what it means to be a good person in this world and the consequences of being a good person, and there's different forces that would come at us. Jesus is making us very clear that there is a cost to discipleship. And I think this is not news to many of you, because many of us are older disciples, and we follow Jesus in our lives, and we know that at times there is backlash, and at times there are attacks, and that there's troubles at times, and it feels like we are picking up our cross. This kingdom of God that Jesus is about is very different from the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of God is where all people are welcome as brothers and sisters, where all people are shown respect, all people are valued, all people deserve to have food, shelter, clothing, education. All people deserve to have this in God's kingdom. And we know, as Christians, that in this world, God does provide. And there are enough resources that no person should go hungry at night. But the distribution of those resources are not just, and that takes work. And God is telling us today that as we follow his way, that there will be counterattacks. You know, instead of spending billions of dollars on a war of choice, we could spend billions of dollars on schools and hospitals and teaching people how to farm and taking care of the environment. There's so many good things we can do that we're not doing. Our God loves us so intimately that he cares about us and how we then can act to make this proclamation of the kingdom of God something that's not only prayer, which is important, not only worship, which is important, but action in the world. And he inspires us to do this. And he tells us that we are valued no matter what happens in this life. Every hair of your head is counted by God. And the older I get, it's easier for God to count my hairs. Every year, it's more interesting when I comb my hair. There's less there to comb. Yet, we have to navigate these waters. And it can be tough. You know, not this. Joan and I have been to weddings every week. So 2 weeks ago at a wedding, wonderful lady was sitting at our table, and she was very involved in politics and working for justice in the world and helping to elect people that had moral fiber and cared more about people and the citizens than about their own bank accounts. And she was just hopeless and helpless and was giving up. How do you give hope in our society, what's happening many times? How do you give hope to people? Well, Don helped us out this week. You know, every week he writes a beautiful epistle and beautiful, thoughtful epistles. And he wrote about Father's Day today. And he said about fathers and grandfathers and mentors that we have alive, mentors of the past. mentors that give us a blessing. Mentors, and think about that, the men in your life that has blessed you, fathers or grandfathers or uncles, pastors or teachers, whoever, those men that have been a blessing to you, mentors. And those mentors can be people that you know, or people that have lived before, that are in a cemetery here, or people that you've read about or know about. And one of my mentors I thought about that helps me navigate and keeps giving me hope. Every time I go to this hospital up here, across from the chapel, I say hi to him. I see his picture, and I thank him. You go to Zelianople, to the cemetery there, and there's a little stone that is really the marker for him. That in fact, you ever go to that cemetery, it's very interesting. Two rows away from his marker is Frankenstein's marker. So yes, that's an interest, especially Halloween, interesting cemetery to go through. But you may guess who I'm talking about. Pastor William Passavant. In fact, if we were Catholic, it'd probably be Saint William Passavant. And he was pastor of First Lutheran Church downtown on Grant Street for 11 years. Pastor Passavant in 1845 helped form the Pittsburgh Synod. Pastor Passavant helped inspire Pastor Brecht, who was the first pastor of this congregation, who would ride his horse from Evansville up around Evansburg, up around Newcastle, 16 miles to come to this church to preach. He inspired Pastor Brecht and other people of this congregation to help form St. John's Lutheran Church in Perrysville. Oh, and part of this congregation moved and helped form Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in Gibsonia. He was a dynamo, this Pastor Passavant. He really inspired people for missionary zeal. His mother's nickname was Zelly, and that's where we get the name Zelianople, because he was born and raised in Zelianople. He founded orphanages in New York, in Zelianople, Pennsylvania, and in Massachusetts. You know, two of his children died when they were very young, so he had a very heart for young children and make sure they had education, they had food, and they could thrive. He helped recruit deaconesses who worked under Dorothea Dix from Germany that came during the Civil War and after. Passavant was founded Teal College in 1876, and he founded the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Chicago in 1891. And he was very dynamic Christian. Passavant lived a very committed life to Jesus Christ. The risen Lord was real to him. One of the things he often said was, pray on, work on, you'll like this, Don, sing on, and look up to God in confident faith. One of those things he always would say was to live, to love, to labor. Oh, Passavant had suffering. Like I said, some of his children died. He was pastor during the Civil War, when we think the country's divided now. In the Civil War, hundreds of thousands of people, North and South, killed each other. It was horrible, but he kept his faith, and he had faith that God will make a difference. And today, Jesus is showing us how to be disciples and live his kingdom in the world, where the secret is let loose, that the kingdom of God is at hand. William Passavant heeded that message, and so can we. That St. Paul's words that Pastor Litke read today, that we are alive to God in Christ Jesus. Or Bishop McCoy used to say, yeah, charity begins at home, but it does not end at home. Oh yes, we may be criticized by God, by the world, as we try to do good, as we try to love, that we try to accept all people. We might be called woke or naive or a fool. But then St. Paul says, it's really good to be called a fool for Christ's sake. It's wonderful. You know, any random act of kindness in this world is taken by God and multiplied. I knew an elderly woman who just talked so nicely about this young man that lived close to her that would help take groceries to her. To her, that he was Jesus. He was Jesus. Or recall that Jesus, you see, when you give in Jesus' name, you give in Jesus' name, and Jesus takes that and multiplies it. And look how much we're given to Lutheran World Relief. Think of the lives that are saving. And people are saying, why are you doing this? Well, and they say, let me tell you about Jesus Christ, the way of God working right now to your neighbor in need. And there is a feeling, a spirit you get when you share the good news with somebody. And there's joy in that. And they feel the love in that. When you come and worship God in this place and other places, you feel the presence of God as you receive the Word and Holy Sacrament. You know Christ's presence in your life. Or, as Martin Luther once said, I have had many things in my hands, but I've lost them all. But whatever I've placed in God's hands, I still possess. To place it in God's hands. Oh, yes. Jesus tells us plainly today that as disciples, that there will be trouble and there will be problems. But as one person once said, let's make good trouble. Let's work in the world in Jesus' name to follow Christ's name. And like Paul said, St. Paul said, I consider the sufferings of this world are not worth comparing with the glory that's about to be revealed to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus knows this. St. Paul knew this. William Passavant knew this. Romans 13 tells us, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us then cast off darkness and put on the armor of light. Jesus lives. The gospel is real. The good news is coming, and Christ is coming again. Things are changing in Jesus Christ. We can shout it out from the rooftops that God is with us. God's kingdom come. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The good news of Jesus Christ is our treasure in a dark world. But we can give it light and we can give it hope as we follow in Christ's way. Not just in theory and in prayer, which is important, but in action. Like William Passavant, like St. Paul, like the people I see out there right now. God bless you as we follow in his way. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.